health savings account can save you a lot of money now and give you a healthier retirement income later. I am Rob West. Health savings accounts were designed to help folks struggling with out-of-pocket medical expenses, but a key provision makes them a terrific backup retirement account, too. I'll talk about that with Mark Biller today. We're off, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our good friend Mark Biller is the executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. And Mark, it's always great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be back.
Mark, we mentioned the benefits of health savings accounts, HSAs, from time to time on the program. But today we'll dive specifically into the connection they can have to retirement investing, which a lot of folks may not be aware of, right?
Yeah, that's right, Rob. You know, when you think about saving for retirement, you probably think about your workplace retirement plan or an IRA, but a health savings account can also be a powerful retirement savings tool, at least for some people. And in fact, in certain situations, an HSA can basically be thought of as a super IRA, but we're starting to get a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Well, that's right. So let's maybe back up for a moment, and maybe you can provide a bit of background on HSAs.
Yeah, well, first of all, to be eligible to fund an HSA, you have to have a high deductible health insurance plan, whether that plan comes from your employer or it's purchased directly by you. And this year, that means an individual plan with at least a $1,500 deductible or a family plan with at least a $3,000 deductible. Okay. Now, basically, Rob, if you've got a high deductible plan like that, you're basically self-insuring for your routine and any relatively minor medical expenses.
Yeah.
So the government lets you contribute to a health savings account so you've got money on hand to pay those relatively small expenses. And then the insurance component covers you against anything major. So your HSA money can be used to cover your deductible, copays, lots of other healthcare products and services. Yeah. They are limited as to how much you can put in them. So, for example, this year, the maximum contribution an individual can make is $3,850, or a family maximum is $7,750. And there are catch-up contributions for older people, just like IRAs. So did you get all that?
I think so. There was a lot there. And actually, it does sound very similar to an IRA.
Yeah, exactly. And there are similar tax benefits available as well, except in the case of HSAs, the tax treatment is potentially even a little bit better than IRAs, because they're what we call triple tax advantage. In other words, you don't pay taxes putting the money in, you don't have taxes on the account growth, and then you don't pay taxes if the money is withdrawn to pay for what are called qualified health expenses. Yeah. And that's why I was mentioning the super IRA idea, because regular IRAs and other workplace retirement plans like your 401k, those are only double tax advantaged, meaning that you're always going to pay taxes at one end or the other with IRAs, either when you're putting the money in or when the money's coming out, depending on whether you're using a traditional IRA or a Roth. But HSAs actually get that tax benefit on both sides, which is why they're unique and why we're touting them as a good retirement savings vehicle.
Yeah, and it's that triple tax advantage that makes HSA a potentially powerful tool for retirement investing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the big key with this is whether a person can cover those out-of-pocket medical costs with funds from outside their HSA account. Mm. If a person can do that, then that money that accumulates in their HSA gets that triple benefit as they invest it over the years. So a couple important notes here. One, if you're not sure that you can pay all your health expenses from outside the HSA, there's really no downside for trying. You know, for example, if you decide to save the maximum in your HSA, but then you end up having to dip into it to pay for your ongoing health costs, you've still got some of that money sitting in the very best type of account for long-term investing. And then there's a second point that we can delve into on the other side of the break.
Sounds great. Mark Biller with us today, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. We're talking about their article, A Health Savings Account, The Other Retirement Account, at soundmindinvesting.org. Much more to come just around the corner. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Anyone who's ever ridden in a car with a child is quite familiar with that question. Whether it's a 10-minute trip or a cross-country trek for a family vacation, children so focus on the destination, where they're going, that it affects how they experience the journey. And people in Jesus' day were no different. They wanted to know if the end was near. Are we there yet? And Jesus' answer might surprise you from Matthew 24. He said, "No one knows when that will be, but the end will be like the days of Noah." People were living life, then suddenly the end. Scary. But in Christ, that's where our hope lies. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchored.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch. Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Mark Biller, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. Today, we're talking about HSAs, specifically a recent article at soundmindinvesting.org entitled A Health Savings Account, The Other Retirement Account. Perhaps you haven't thought about your HSA as not only a way to cover the cost of healthcare expenses, but also to save for retirement. Mark, just before the break, you were saying one of the keys to this is being able to perhaps try to cover your expenses outside the HSA so you can let this money grow. Now, if you're unable to do that and you have to dip in, that's fine. But there's also this idea of whether or not the custodian allows you access to investments, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And unfortunately, not all HSA platforms really have good investing options on them. But a number of them do. Some of them are set up directly with Fidelity, for example, so you have a full range of investing options there. There are others, like Lively is another popular HSA provider, and that platform gives you access to all of Schwab's trading abilities. So a lot of these plans do offer you good investing options, which, of course, is more important if you're trying to use the HSA in this kind of long-term retirement savings capability.
Yeah. Now, you shared with us that the real power of these HSAs is that they're triple tax advantaged. No taxes going in, no taxes on account growth, and no taxes if the money is withdrawn to pay qualified health expenses. But one of the stipulations of that triple advantage is that the HSA money has to ultimately be used for, in fact, those qualified medical expenses. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, that's correct. And Rob, if you do end up in retirement with money in an HSA and you need to take it out for non-medical expenses, at worst, it ends up functioning just like a regular IRA where you end up paying tax on those withdrawals.
Okay.
But there's actually an important loophole that's really important for people who are wanting to use HSAs in the way that we're talking about today.
Okay.
And that is that in retirement, you can take money out of the HSA for any new qualified health expenses that you incur. That's true all the way through your life. But the loophole is, in retirement, you can also reimburse yourself for past qualified health care expenses that you incurred in the past.
Hmm.
So that means as long as you save your receipts for health care expenses that you're paying out of pocket now, you'll have the ability to take those amounts out of your HSA in retirement, whether you have new healthcare expenses or not.
Wow.
So let me give you an example of that.
Sure.
Yeah. Suppose at age 66, you're retired and you withdraw $15,000 from your HSA to buy a car or any other non-health expense.
Okay.
As long as you have $15,000 in receipts that you haven't used, you haven't claimed in the past, then even if you incurred those expenses years earlier, you can use those receipts to offset that entire withdrawal, making it tax-free.
Wow, that is a powerful benefit. And this is where HSAs are different from FSAs, flexible spending accounts, right?
Absolutely. So HSA account balances can be carried forward year after year, and you can get that compounding in your investing account. That's very different from a flexible spending account where the money has to be spent each year or else you forfeit it. And it's also worth pointing out that once you enroll in Medicare, which most people do at age 65, you have to stop contributing to an HSA. But any existing HSA money that you have can continue to be invested and can continue to pay these qualified healthcare expenses.
You know, that makes me think of a program we did recently, Mark, on the order of operations when we're managing money. I suppose in this case, getting things in the right order is really important, right?
Yeah, it really is. And SMI's always recommended prioritizing those retirement savings this way. If your workplace plan offers a match, contribute there to get the full match.
Okay.
Then we usually suggest going over to an IRA because they usually have the broadest set of investment options. And then if you still need to save more for retirement, you would ultimately go back to your 401k plan last. Now, if your workplace plan doesn't offer a match, then we would just say max out an IRA and then turn to your workplace plan. But because these HSA benefits are so compelling, if you're eligible to fund an HSA and you think that you're going to be able to pay at least some of those healthcare expenses outside the HSA so that it can grow over time, then we would change those recommendations a little bit. We would say in that case, you still want to go for your matching contributions in your workplace plan. But then we would say the HSA should probably come next before you move on to funding an IRA. Now, if your workplace plan doesn't offer a match, we'd actually suggest maxing out the HSA first, then moving on to an IRA, and finally back to your workplace plan.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And there are a lot of moving parts. So by the way, folks, if you want to check out this article with all the details, again, it's called A Health Savings Account, The Other Retirement Account. You'll find it as a free download at soundmindinvesting.org. Mark, this makes me think of the fact that healthcare costs in retirement are always a major concern for folks. Medicare, of course, doesn't cover everything. So give us an idea of how contributing to an HSA can really alleviate some of those fears.
Yeah, well, in the article, Rob, we include a quote from a research firm that found that an individual who starts saving by age 40 can accumulate sufficient savings in an HSA to cover the cost of healthcare in retirement. And importantly, those researchers said that that projection would still hold even if the individual had to use a small portion of that HSA money to cover their current health expenses. So the bottom line of all of that is this is definitely a tool that's worth looking into if you're covered by a high deductible insurance plan, because it can really put you on a good path for retirement savings.
And then quickly, Mark, for somebody who has a choice, HSA or not, are there some rules of thumb perhaps that would help them decide whether this is the best option for them?
Well, you always do have to look at the cost of the plan that you're getting. And all, you know, with any insurance, there are always going to be specific details in terms of those deductibles and so forth.
Sure.
You certainly don't want to put yourself in a position where you can't cover your own health care up to those high deductibles. So safety first when it comes to insurance, but this can be a good tool for a lot of people.
But I suspect somebody who's younger, healthy, and has the ability to max it out would be ripe for an HSA, correct?
Absolutely, because young people are often overpaying for insurance that they don't end up using and really likely are not going to need. So this is a perfect model for those folks, as long as they have emergency savings to cover if they do need to pay out of pocket up to that deductible amount.
That's really helpful. Mark, great information as always. We really appreciate you dropping by today.
Always my pleasure, Rob.
He's Mark Biller, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can read more about this in their article, A Health Savings Account, the other retirement account, at soundmindinvesting.org. Much more to come just around the corner, including your questions. Stay with us.
Nineteen-year-old Jacob Kersey served his community as a police officer until they decided to challenge his First Amendment rights. On his own time and his own Facebook page, Jacob shared three sentences summarizing the biblical truth about marriage. The department placed him on leave, told him to remove the post, and threatened to fire him if he made any future comments. Instead of bowing to their demands, Jacob quit. Take time to let him know you support his stand and are praying for him. Stop by AFA.net today.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, before we head to the phones, have you checked out our brand new website at faithfi.com? That's faithfi.com. While you're there, I'd encourage you to take a look at the FaithFi app. I think you'll find it to be an incredible money management tool for you to build a spending plan, stay on track with your spending throughout the month, but also the FaithFi community where folks are posting questions every day, responding to each other, encouraging one another on their stewardship journeys. And in our content section, you'll find the best podcasts, videos, and articles in biblical finance. Check it out today at faithfi.com, and to download the app or to learn more, just click on the app tab while you're there. All right, back to the phones to Birmingham. Hi, April. How can I help you?
Hey, yes, I was just curious. I have two old traditional 401ks from previous employers. They've just been sitting there for a few years, and I didn't know if I could just like maybe combine them and contribute to them and then also open a Roth IRA, or is it better to just do one?
Yeah. So are you at a new employer that also has a 401k?
No, unfortunately, he doesn't offer a 401k.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I like the idea of simplifying this, April, reducing the number of total number of accounts that you have by rolling these two 401ks into one traditional IRA. You would be able to combine them, and then you would be able to also make future additional contributions to that. You could then open separately a Roth IRA, so you'd end up with two retirement accounts. You'd have the individual retirement account and then the Roth IRA as well. And you could decide how to contribute to those moving forward. If you've got the bulk of your funds coming into the traditional, because that's how you were contributing to the 401k, then I like new contributions going into the Roth, especially if you've got plenty of time before retirement. That gives you a tax-free bucket growing as well, so that if it makes sense down the road to pull from that, because let's say marginal tax rates are higher than they are today. Keep in mind the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act rolls off in 2025. So we're probably looking at higher marginal tax rates down the road. So having that tax-free growth and then pulling that money out tax-free in retirement makes some sense to me. So yeah, I think combining them into the traditional, then opening the Roth, and then making contributions there moving forward makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help.
All right. Thanks for going, April. We're going to go to Palos Hills. Marianne, I know you called yesterday and didn't get through. I'm glad you called back. How can I help?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I got some money in a bonus recently, and I want to figure out the best use of it. I took out a car loan in September on a 2016 Honda, have a balance of about $24,000 on it and a payment of about $770 a month. I got the loan through my credit union, and they've told me I can re-amortize it to drop the amount of the payment if I want to do that. I've also got a regular IRA and a Roth IRA. I'm wondering if I should put some in there, some towards the note on the car, or one or the other. I'm trying to figure out the best use of about between $10,000 and $12,000.
Okay, so the bonus was $10,000 to $12,000, and you owe $24,000 on the car, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Do you have a sense, Marianne, of kind of which you want to do? Here's the bottom line. This comes down to, are both of these productive uses of this money? Absolutely. The idea of investing is great. The idea of paying down debt is great. I mean, we can look at kind of the financial side of this purely, but is there something in you that just really wants to see this balance on the car come down, or are you truly wanting to know which is the most financially productive?
Probably the more financially productive, because most likely I'll be able to pay the car off with whatever, assuming God willing, whatever bonus I get next year in January, I could pay it all off if I wanted to, or You know, I've got some other potential funds coming in if I sell my house to use that to pay off the car note. I'd like to get out of debt, but I also want to be smart about using what I have to increase my retirement savings.
Yeah, very good. And then if you don't mind me asking, what is your age?
I'll be 60 this year.
Okay. And do you have retirement savings in a 401k or something other than the Roth?
I do. I have a Roth IRA and I have a regular IRA.
Okay. But you don't have a company sponsored plan like a 401k or something like that?
They have a pension where I'm working now. It'll be a relatively small one, but I've got several hundred thousand between the, I've got most of it in the regular IRA and about 15,000 in the Roth, which is why I was maybe leaning towards putting some in the Roth.
Yeah, I like that idea for a couple of reasons. Number one, you don't have a 401k at work. You do have that pension, and you've built up quite a nest egg, and that's great. But I think your ability to continue to fund this Roth moving forward, to have as much as you can available to supplement Social Security, is going to help you. Number two, the market's down. So as you invest in perhaps more or increasing the investments you already had, you're buying at a discount. And we like discounts when we go to the mall. We also should like discounts in the stock market, because we're essentially with the same dollars buying more shares, and those will recover if we have a long time horizon. And even at age 60, you do. If the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you need this money to last decades. So this is a great opportunity. This year, over the age of 50, you could put in $7,500. So if your emergency fund is fully funded, and I would define that as 3 to 6 months expenses, I'd say take $7,500 of this $12,000 or so and go ahead and fully fund the Roth for this year. Let's participate in the recovery as the market increases once we get, you know, beyond this recession or even prior to it. And then if you wanted to take the balance and put it on the car, that's great. You know, if you were going to be able to completely eliminate the $770 a month car payment, and then you could turn around and take that amount and start pumping it in every month into the Roth, that'd be great. But you're not going to help yourself from a cash flow standpoint by, you know, putting $12,000 on the car, because you're still going to have that payment and it's at a low interest rate. So I think fully funding the Roth, putting the balance on the car, and then trying to pay that off as you have additional funds makes some sense to me.
Okay. All right.
All
right.
That's
very helpful. Thank you so much. Appreciate
it. You're welcome,
it.
Marianne. Absolutely. And thanks for your call today. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a lot more. We'll be heading to Tennessee. We'll talk about whole life insurance, and then Charleston and Florida, and perhaps your question. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
The core of all of the difficulty that we endure here as human beings, it comes down to this: God's word or man's word. One of the major features that has contributed to this degradation of society in our country, in America in particular, is that we have lost our understanding of the transcendent, surpassing glory of God.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today. You know my mentor, Ron Blue, the author and teacher. Here's what he says about money. He says it's a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Well, that's right. That makes sense. It's also a test. You know, if we look at Scripture, we see that, there's a lot to say about the fact that we can very easily allow money to take God's rightful place in our lives if we value earthly riches over true eternal riches. And so we need to be on our guard about money being a test, but also it's a testimony to the world. Think about this. Our willingness to trust God when we have little and to share generously when we have much provides witness to an unbelieving world. So perhaps as you think about your money, think about it in that light. It's a tool, it's a test, but it's also a testimony, and perhaps that'll change how you handle God's resources. All right, back to the phones we go to Tennessee. Hey, John, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So I've seen a lot about getting a whole life insurance policy to be able to transfer wealth and also be your own bank and, you know, all these things that sound really good, but I really don't know how it makes sense. I'll have about an extra, I'm 50 years old and I haven't done well with retirement. And so I didn't know if I have about an extra $500 a month to put into some sort of an account. And I didn't know if this was a good means to do that.
Yeah. So do you have a retirement plan at work, John, that you're funding?
I do have a 401k that I match up to the 6% that they do the company match. But okay. I think I'm a little too late in the game.
Yeah, yeah. So you're trying to play catch up. I think the key here is just to, you know, be systematic in your contributions. How much have you been able to put away in that 401k at this point?
There is about 45,000.
Okay. And how far away is retirement in your best guess?
Well, I'm 50 years old and I also have young children. So yeah. I'm probably realistically 70, so 20 okay. more years.
Yeah. All right. So you got time on your side, and I realize you feel like you're a little behind, and you know, from the kind of benchmark standpoint, I would agree. Doesn't mean we need to, you know, get more speculative or take more risk. It just means we need to keep our lifestyle in check, try to reduce debt as you're able. If you hit retirement at age 70 and you've got, you haven't taken Social Security and you've let that grow beyond full retirement age, you know, probably 25% more than what you would have gotten at full retirement age. Your house is paid off. You're completely out of debt. And you've spent this next 20 years like diligently saving. I think that's really the key for you. I love that you maxed out the matching portion of your 401k. I would say the next option would be, let's go ahead and fund a Roth IRA. You could take that $500 a month and drop it right into a Roth. The other option, if you want a little less complexity, just because in the Roth, you're going to have to pick the investments. And if you don't want to have to do that, you could just add more to your 401k, just have them up that percentage. Because really the goal that we want to get to on that 401k is not the 6% they're matching, but really we want to get probably closer to 15% as you're able to. Now, I realize that's not easy and you've got kids and there's a lot of expense there. And so, you know, you're just trying to do the best you can, and that's fine. But as you're able to, I would try to boost those 401k savings. But yeah, setting up an automatic contribution to a Roth would be another great option. If you wanted to do that, I'd probably just use an index fund or a high quality mutual fund that's just going to give you good growth over the long term. And, you know, don't watch that statement every month, but just make that automatic contribution. And you'll be surprised between your 401k and the Roth, you know, over the next 20 years, you'll be able to build up quite a bit of a retirement nest egg.
Is the whole life insurance policy, is that not a good investment?
It's really not. You know, I would rather you just focus on having the right kind of term coverage, which is, you know, whole life is about 6 to 10 times the cost of a comparable term policy. And it just adds complexity. Plus, you're not going to get as much upside as you would just investing straight in the stock market. So the fees and the complexity and the additional cost, I think for me, I would rather you do your saving outside of an insurance product and just use the insurance policy purely for what you need it for, and that's the death benefit. And the most cost-effective way to get the death benefit your family needs is through term insurance, not whole life.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call, John. We appreciate it. Let's head to Charleston. Hey, Ryan, how can I help you?
Hey, hope you're doing well today.
Doing great.
So I have about $1,800 of surplus income per month, and I'm trying to figure out whether or not I put that into an IRA, maybe a Roth, or towards savings.
Okay.
Essentially, go ahead.
No, that's fine. Go ahead and give me the rest of the story.
Okay. So I currently max out my 401k contributions, and I am using a HELOC for an emergency fund as I'm $110,000 HELOC that I will be turning is for my primary residence that I will be planning to rent out at the end of the year, and will not have housing costs for the next 2 years when I go to Germany.
Cool.
And have my company pay for it.
Excellent. Okay, so the extra surplus is going to come in the form of lower expenses because your company is going to pick up most of your living expenses. Is that right?
I already have a surplus of $1,800 a month that I need to figure out whether or not to put it into savings or should I be investing it while the market's down.
Got it. Yeah. And so is that surplus going to go up when you move to Germany?
Yes.
Okay, great. And what do you have in liquid savings right now? Anything?
About 10 grand.
Okay, 10 grand in liquid savings. And obviously you're living modestly because you've got quite a bit of surplus here. I think you've got a couple of options. I mean, you don't have any debt right now because all you have is a line of credit with a zero balance. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. So you're in a great spot. I mean, it sounds like you're young. What is your age?
29.
Okay, so you're 29, you're about to have this rental property, you know, you're maxing out your 401k, you got plenty of surplus income that's only growing. You know, I think you're in a great spot to not only continue to save, but also to begin to accelerate your giving, because there's a real opportunity here, you know, for you to think about, you know, what God is doing and where your passions are and align some of this with that, with his activity. But beyond that, I think given that you've maxed out that the 401k, I think the next option is to, in fact, fund that Roth, especially as you said, while the market's down, it's a great entry point for you. And that's really the only other place that you can invest on a tax advantaged basis, apart from an insurance product. And I wouldn't do that. So I think, you know, you're going to obviously fund that fully, you know, with this surplus in a very short period of time. So I'd probably start by funding last year. So you could put in, you know, 6,000 for 2022 prior to filing your return. And then you can start working on the 6,500 that you can put in this year. Beyond that, you know, you're on track with, I would say, you know, all of the savings goals that you have. So at that point, it's just a matter of continuing to keep your eyes open and say, do I have other goals like, you know, purchasing another property maybe when you get back, or do I want to accelerate my giving? I think either of those would be great options beyond
the Roth IRA and the 401k. Hey, congrats on making some great choices here, Ryan. Thanks for calling today. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, are you a part of the FaithFi family? You count on this program, you listen to it, maybe not every day, but most days you've found some value in the biblical principles we share. Well, we'd invite you to be a financial supporter of the ministry. You can give securely online or find the address to mail a check or even a toll-free number to call our team and make a gift. When you head to our website, faithfi.com, just click the Give button. That's faithfi.com. Just click Give. And this month, for any gift, you can request a copy of Howard Dayton's classic Business God's Way. We'd love to give that to you as our gift. Again, head to our website, faithfi.com, and just click Give. All right, let's head to the phones. Lakeland, Florida. Elle, thank you for calling today. Is it beautiful in Lakeland today?
It is. It is very sunny and nice, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. How can I help you?
I was wondering what advice you have for a 26-year-old wanting to save for a house in 3 to 5 years. And I could give you more information on the assets and stuff, but basically I'm just wondering what would be good to invest in or how much to set aside for that.
Yeah, I love that question. So you're 26, you've set a goal to buy a house in 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And are you planning to stay there in Lakeland, Elle?
Probably around this area, either Tampa, anywhere Tampa to Auburndale area.
Got it. Okay, very good. So there's two kind of targets that you're going to want to set. The first is that down payment. And if you've listened to this program, you know that I'm going to want you to have at least 20% to put down. And then the other piece is you're going to want to look at what the mortgage payment is going to be, including taxes and insurance, on the mortgage that you end up with. So you buy the house, you put 20% down, you've got an 80% mortgage on the property, and we want to make sure that that payment, including taxes and insurance, is not more than 25% of your take-home pay, if possible. And what that's going to do, Elle, is really help you to make sure that you've got enough left over for you to cover all of your other expenses, not only those things you get a bill for, but the things that are non-recurring that maybe come up, you know, a few times a year or quarterly, like your car insurance, but also that you've got some margin left over, because that's what's going to help you to fund your other goals. Maybe it's you know, saving for retirement or, you know, some other goal that you have, replacing an automobile down the road, that kind of thing. So give me a sense of, you know, whether you've started to look at houses and how much you think you can spend. And then that's going to help us determine, you know, what will your goal be for the down payment? And then we want to make sure that that mortgage payment is not more than 25% of your take home pay.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm in the very early stages. It was just, I felt like it was put on my heart to start thinking about it.
Yeah,
I love that. Don't have those numbers right now. I just, okay. I do have a sum saved up in the bank that I could put towards, I have a good amount saved up in the bank that I could put towards something. And I just didn't know if for now, since I don't have those concrete numbers, should I be putting them in something that gains more interest? So I'm not losing money on that. What I already have,
Yeah, it's
very,
a great question.
Early in that process.
Well, yeah. That's great. I mean, you want to start early. So that's a good thing because it's going to take you some time to get up probably to that ultimate savings goal. I think you're right. You do want to put it into an interest-bearing savings account. I'd probably use one of the online banks. So even if you're checking accounts at a brick and mortar bank, you know, locally there in Lakeland, you could open an online savings account and then link it electronically to your checking, maybe at Capital One 360 or Marcus or Ally Bank, one of those. Those are all going to pay like 3.5% in the way of interest and maybe even a little bit more. And the great thing is there's not going to be any fees for those. So literally 100% of what you put in is going to be right there. It's safe. You can earmark it for that down payment and you're going to earn a little bit of interest along the way. And then I think the next step is for you to start looking around and getting a feel for what the home or the condo that you want to buy is going to cost. Look at the size, you know, homes and condo that represent the amount of square footage you would want and the location you want. And let's say you figure out that it's going to cost you, you know, $300,000. Well, you're going to need $60,000. If it's going to cost $200,000, you're going to need $40,000 for a down payment. That's going to give you a good sense of kind of what your savings goal is. And then you can get online and get a mortgage calculator. If you just Google mortgage calculator, you'll find 100 of them free. And you can figure out, okay, if I buy a $200,000 home and I put down $40,000, now I've got a $160,000 mortgage. And it'll show you, based on today's interest rates, what your payment would be. And it'll even estimate the taxes and the insurance based on the zip code. And then that will let you know, okay, is this payment something that would be 25% or less of my pay? And if so, then you're headed in the right direction. And if not, then maybe you need to regroup a little bit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I don't know, this is very much an amateur question. I'm positive.
That's okay.
I would very much like to save up enough to not have that much debt on it. Yeah. I think I'm heading towards a place where I could comfortably make a down payment, which is good. Would you still recommend the same saving method if I wanted to save as much extra as possible to purchase with it as minimum debt as possible?
I would. And the reason is because of the time horizon. So anything that's less than 5 years, especially if it could be as soon as 3 years, I don't want you to put that at risk. So I don't want you to invest in the stock market because you may find that you're ready to go ahead and buy that house. You find the perfect one and then the investments you bought are down and now you got to sell them at a loss. So the time horizon says we need to have this really protected, which means savings account. Now, if you want to get a little more interest, you could put it into a CD. So let's say you had $10,000 today and you said, you know what, I want to go ahead and lock that up in a 15-month CD because now I can get 4.5% or 4.75% instead of 3.5% in a savings account. You could certainly do that, but I'd stay in either a savings account or a CD just so your money is protected and it's ready when you need it.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much. I think that gives me a lot of insight in what to start looking into. And also some reassurance that I feel like I'm on the right track. So
you absolutely are. And I love that you're already thinking, L. I mean, here you are 26, you're thinking about buying your first house and you're saying, yeah, 20% is great, Rob, but I want to do a lot more than that down. And that's great, right? Because you want to get out of debt, which is exactly the way that you should be thinking. And if you have the ability to do that and you can keep your lifestyle in check and continue to save and make that house purchase, man, you're never going to have that weight of having a too much house with a mortgage payment payment, you know, that's going to put some stress or strain on your financial life. You certainly don't want that, and you're headed in that direction. Hey, you stay on the line. We're going to get your information, and I want to send you a Ron Blue's book, Master Your Money, that I think will be a real encouragement to you. It's our gift to you, and thanks for calling today, Elle. God bless you. Hey, let's head to West Palm Beach, just south of where Elle's at. Hi, John. How can I help you?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So my wife and I, we've been married like 36 years. We're finally empty nesters, enjoying it. But unfortunately, you know, we're trying to play catch up right now. We've been in debt most of our life, I guess. You know how it goes, raising kids.
Yeah.
But we've been able to catch up pretty good the last 3 years. I'm currently in one of those target funds. I'm in a 2030 target fund.
Okay.
Which is supposed to kind of transition over time, I guess, as you get closer to that number. But this last year, I mean, we got absolutely hammered. And yeah. I feel like now, you know, I may need to work another 3 or 4 extra years just based on the hit that we've taken last year.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, you know, should I just stick it out and pump more money into this thing? Or should I look at another avenue as far as investing?
Yeah. What is, so you say, how far are you away from retirement based on what you know today?
Probably about 8 to 10 years, I'm guessing.
Okay. All right. So you've got 8 to 10 years and you're in a 2030 fund. So you've probably got as much as maybe 60% in stocks. Is that right? 40% in bonds?
Yeah, I think it's like 65-35, something like that. And then it kind of, every year it kind of switches, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I would wait this out, John, if it were me. I mean, ultimately, you're the steward. You got to make that call. But I would say, you know, given that you're a minimum of 5 years out from retirement, you know, this market is going to recover, and it's going to recover ahead of the economy in all likelihood once we know that the Fed is done raising interest rates. And clearly, we're not to that point yet. But when we are, there's literally trillions of dollars on the sidelines that's going to come rushing back into this market. And I have a feeling we'll make new highs in a pretty short period of time. It doesn't mean we're going to have a raging bull market. I think we're entering into a period where it's going to be, you know, more modest gains than we've seen over the past decade, but we will recover over time. And I think as you recover what you lost, that's then the time to say, okay, given where I am in proximity to my retirement, now's the time to get more conservative, because if we go through another one of these, I don't want to have to wait for the market to come back. So I guess if it were me, I say, stick it out until you at least recover what you lost. And then that's the time to begin getting more conservative, perhaps, you know, switching to a 2025 fund or, you know, something maybe even more conservative than that if you wanted to.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Excellent. Yeah, it does. I appreciate your advice. Thank you.
Absolutely. I think the key is I just don't want you to lock in those losses. And then here you are 2 years from now and the market's recovered and you're thinking, man, I wish I had that money back. But at the same time, I want you to, you know, really tune into the fact that you felt like you were too aggressive just based on what you lost. So when the time comes, let's start moving to a more conservative posture so you're ready to weather the next downturn, because they do come in cycles. I appreciate your call today, my friend. God bless you. Sarah, I'm sorry we didn't get to your question. I know you want to gift your home to your pastor, which is amazing. You know, it can be as simple as adding him to the deed, which you could do very simply. And you could establish a new deed for that. But I would check with a real estate attorney just on that and let him know what you're looking to do. And they'll tell you exactly the most efficient way for you to do that. We appreciate your call today. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. So delighted you were along with us today. On behalf of my team, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry, thanks for being here. We look forward to gathering with you each morning of this program as we mine the scriptures and apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions. I'm Rob West. Come back and join us tomorrow. I'll be here for another edition of Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.